And next, we have our wage and hour concerns. I'm not a wage and hour expert. I'll say that at the start. But obviously, you know, you have to continue to comply with your wage and hour laws when they work remotely. For folks who are non-exempt from the FLSA, that would mean a system of clocking in and clocking out, timesheets. These are all things that you still need to abide by. And you have to make sure that you have at least a system in place for your employees to input that data when they need to, including breaks and other typical wage and hour devices. So continue to think about that. Also, certain states have reimbursement laws regarding what equipment an employee brings to their work location, which could be at home, and whether or not you may have to pay for the costs of some of those. That could include phone and internet bills and costs of certain devices. Again, varies by state, but that's something to keep track of. And then again, the privacy and data concerns. You might not have the same level of network security. You can increase the risk of inadvertent or malicious loss of data or proprietary information, which always can risk fines and legal violations, you know, particularly as some states are implementing more detailed legal requirements around personal data. So that's just, again, another factor that you should consider when thinking through what your remote work structure is going to look like. Some things that would be helpful are implementing reporting systems to register technical issues with their equipment or cybersecurity incidents, making sure they're reporting either through, you know, attempts, phishing attempts or other potential loss of data, even though they're not in an office. At least have them have a system in place where they can report what is going on. You want to make sure they have appropriate training on cyber risks, so folks are aware of what risks they face with their home networks. And I think this can be especially true if an employee might be using a device now that it's at home for both personal and work usages. That can increase risk depending on what type of activity. So you want to have policies that define exactly what those devices can be used for and the secure way, methods of security you want employees to use when using those devices. And then, you know, just guidelines on minimum internet connection security settings. The internet connection can also just be about the, you know, bandwidth and the ability to work. If someone has a spotty internet connection, that can certainly affect their ability to work remotely. But it also can have a security component as well. And then moving on, we also have this discussion of equipment and materials. So some employers can be responsible for reimbursing employees for certain expenses in some states. So something to keep in mind when you're thinking about your equipment. But even if you're not obligated to reimburse the employees for all their expenses, a policy clearly stating what the equipment you will provide and what expenses you are going to cover can be important to set expectations and the rules of a road for so employees will know what they're getting into, and you can hopefully prevent further questions on the matter. It's also really important to develop policies to track your equipment, making sure that this returned properly, making sure it's repaired and kept up to date. These can be difficult even in an office setting. It's made even more difficult when you're remote and you potentially have folks who are spread out, you know, across a wide area. And then there's the question of occupational safety, which is one of everyone's favorite. Now, the big takeaway, of course, is that you are not responsible for an employee's home office in the same way that you would be responsible for your own workplace or your own work site. You don't have that same obligation. You don't have an obligation to physically inspect the workplace. And OSHA is not going to come knocking on your employee's doors to make sure that everything is set up in a way that is, you know, ideal. I mean, that said, you do have a general obligation to make sure that any equipment that you provide is being used safely and that certain foreseeable risks and hazards are avoided. And that's most often met simply by making sure you have a robust training program, webinars, policy documents, things that employees will know, so they'll have at least a sense of these are the things you should do, these are the things you should avoid. And it can be as simple as, you know, don't have 16 surge protectors plugged in, et cetera, with the various, you know, digital equipment you may have to use. It could be also a little bit more complex if the equipment you're asking employees to use is more complex. But just make sure that you have the basics in place so that any foreseeable harm, you at least have said something, you at least have instructed the employee, this is what you should do, so that the employee ends up hurting themselves and doesn't do it, then at least you have something to say that you advise them against that sort of action or told them you shouldn't do that. And then I think the other really important one is your obligations to record and log workplace injuries. Those still apply, even if someone is working remotely. It obviously can be a little bit more difficult to parse out what may be a workplace injury versus something that may have occurred just because of the individual's home setup. So that'll be a question that you'll have to consider when someone is injured or if you're evaluating whether an injury is workplace related or not. However, you need to at least have a system and have your employees aware that if they are injured while working from home, they should, in the circumstances that are appropriate, report that so that you can determine whether that's something that you need to keep a record of or potentially report to OSHA if required.